Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here again another week. And I mean that literally. So today is going to be a wonderful, wonderful show. And because we're in the holiday season, we're going to get a little bit away from real estate and getting ready for the new year to begin. And so much is going on. Last week was really fun having Guy Steele on about Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday, and gosh, he knew everything. He's been doing a show for about Frank Sinatra every week for the last 17 years. I'm just so impressed. It's like the museum for Frank Sinatra. So because we're going to do things differently today, I'm really excited. And I like these shows more, I think, than the real estate shows, just because I've been doing it for so long, I think. Those of you that know, you can call in 347-945-5428 if you'd like. And if you're listening to the show later and want to get contact information, you can go to realityuniversal.com or email us at radio@realityuniversal. So today, we are discussing relationship tips, especially since it's the holiday season. We discuss real estate all year long, in addition to our wonderful guests who are change agents for the world. But this time of year is so special, and it's also stressful, unfortunately, for many. So I am thrilled today to bring on our guest who has years in teaching people about relationships. She was the first facilitator for John Gray starting in 1996. John Gray is the one who wrote the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And apparently that's been built into an empire of trainings and teachings and helped many, many, many people. Over the years, Janet trained over 500 facilitators worldwide. She took all she learned from the Mars-Venus groups and she helped condense it into and their philosophy, and she came up with her own principles and created 12 easy-to-use yet specific strategies, men and women win relationships. She added a how-to for men and women for each rule to ensure their success. So I am really, really excited to get into this and dig in today. And relationship rules, we're going to go into the different things. Also, quickly won first place with the Colorado Independent Publishers Association. So, gosh, and she's giving back, and I love this. And since 1997 and today, Janice teaches teens about relationships and speaks on the subject as well. She's a renowned speaker, writer also. She's got a book that's just coming out, I believe. We're going to get into all that. And she'll be giving us tips for the season. So join us today in some holiday cheer. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Janice Hoffman. Hey.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm just so excited to be on the show and share some tips and talk about the holidays and relationships and stress. It's going to be fun.
Oh, this is the perfect time.
Thanks for having me. Yes,
it is. Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. And you are, where are you today?
I'm in Boulder, Colorado, where it's about 30 degrees, but bright sunny sunshine and snow on the ground, and it's really pretty outside.
I'm in Maryland and it's cold, but we don't have any snow, and then I'll be back in Hawaii. So, Boulder, Colorado. I hear a lot of good things about Boulder, Colorado. So, do you get warm
best
in the summer? Is it?
Yeah, we have 300 days of sunshine, which I probably shouldn't tell everybody because then they want to move here. But we have 300. Yeah, we have 300 days of sunshine, and we're a mile high, so we're that much closer to the sun. So when it could be 40 degrees out and sunny and feel like 65, 70 degrees.
Wow.
So it's a pretty awesome place to live in the, you know, the mountains. I mean, there's just so much to do. It's an outdoor person's paradise, really.
Wow, you're right. Everybody will want to come
it.
There.
Yeah. Wonderful. People love Boulder for sure.
So it's Colorado is a nice state. I hear so many good things, and that's wonderful.
It's
with
really
the elevation,
a state.
Does it take people a little bit of time to get used to breathing when they first come to visit you?
Not so much that, unless they're doing an activity where their heart rate gets, you know, like hiking or skiing or something like that. Most important thing is to drink water so they don't get altitude sickness, because it's like the flu and it's pretty miserable. And if you're on vacation, you just don't want to have that happen to you, take away from your time. So just make sure you drink lots of water. Rocky Mountain, pure water. We have great water here. So, yeah, it's a beautiful state. There's just so much to see and so much to do. And everywhere you look, it's just pretty. Every, you know, the seasons are all beautiful. And can you tell I love
that's
it?
Really nice. You can. I can tell you really do love it, and that's wonderful.
I
and
really
it's so nice to live somewhere. It's really wonderful to live where you love everything about it, too. That's just really heaven.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I love everything about Boulder. I'm like, you know, I could run for council. I just love this place. So.
That's what we'll do next. That's going to be on your agenda for next year, right?
Next year you'll
run for council.
I've often thought about that, but, you know, politics in general are kind of, I don't know.
Oh, politics. Let me see. Relationship specialist. Okay. Relationships expert. Politics. I think you'd do well with them because you could, you'd be one step ahead of them probably, huh? It might be
too opinionated, you know?
Maybe. I don't know.
But, you know, it's Boulder, so they probably wouldn't care.
That's so funny. They had the debates last night and I missed them. I have to download them, I guess, from YouTube or something later. But we shall see. Politics just isn't a fun word anymore. It's just one of those words. You know, we have to.
But you know what? One of the things, politically speaking, Boulder is going to be the very first city to go off the grid in terms of electric and gas. We're going to have our own power. No, we're going to have our own power company. So we're going to be a model for the rest of the United States, and we will, you know, the city and county of Boulder will provide power for the residents only, and you know, it just stays within the community, which is awesome.
Really? When is this going to happen?
There's nothing wrong with the company we have. Oh, it's already happening. It's already been approved, and it's in the works. So I don't know all the details, but I'm pretty proud of my city and my county for, you know, we've done a lot of firsts. We were the first place to where you had to bring your own grocery bags or pay. We were one of the first places that you couldn't smoke inside a restaurant or a bar. We've been kind of the cutting edge for, being green, I suppose.
I love off the grid, you know, and on the real estate side, so many people are getting the solar panels, you know, and using solar.
Right.
And, of course, in Hawaii, you know, it's a win-win because you're always, you know, they have enough sun that it's going to work all year long. I know in different areas, it depends on what you're, you know, that you can still, there's such a good way to go, though, because it's the cost and the, you know, using the natural sun. And, of course, there's a lot involved in it. But I guess going off the grid, though, I'm impressed. That's really great. So you didn't
we weren't sure if the residents didn't really, we weren't sure if we could be able to pull it off because of politics and all, but because there's a power plant right here in Boulder.
Right.
Bring in the coal.
Yeah, but they weren't happy.
Whatever they do. I'm sure they're not. But, you know, that's progress. And, you know, yay for the people.
Good for you.
You know,
good
we could be in control of our energy. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And solar power is big here because, you know, 300 days of sunshine. You've got to capitalize on that for sure. I mean,
I'm going to check out.
Yeah. Like Hawaii and, you know, I mean, California gets, especially Southern California, they get so much sunshine. It, you know, places that get, where you get a lot of sunshine, it's definitely worth it to do. Because now you can do solar without having big giant panels and pipes and on your roof. I mean, there's so many other ways to do it.
You know, oh, my God, there's so many ways to do solar. You know, we have to have you back another time if you'd be okay about talking about Boulder. And the reason I'm saying this is, no, we're a realist at Realty Universal. And I really, when I started the show years ago, I was really adamant about tying in self-help, change, you know, community issues, other things, because I just believe in it. And when you're selling real estate and you're in, you know, home is where the heart is, there's other issues that come up in the home and out of the home. So, you know, we've done shows on solar before. We've done them on solar. We actually have had shows on different locations because people are always interested firsthand, even though you can Google anything, right? You can Google things. But it's not the same as somebody that loves it, that's speaking about it in the area. That is so cool. And we,
when we had the recession, do you know when we had the recession and everybody was hit, real estate, you know, they all took a hit? Not here.
Wow.
It was like didn't go up as much, but we can't.
Right.
You can't even keep anything on the market in Denver and Boulder right now, you know, the surrounding areas.
That's amazing.
I mean, things are just flying and off the, just anything. It's just crazy.
And you said the water's good there too, huh?
Water's really good. Everything's great. You know, I mean, I can't say anything bad about Colorado.
Colorado River feeds it? Is it Colorado River?
I'm not sure. I mean, we just get all the snowfall. I mean, Colorado actually provides water to a lot of other states.
They do.
And there's creeks everywhere, which is really nice because you can find a place near a creek or on a creek pretty much anywhere and nobody's around. And, you know, it's just you and whoever you're with, or by yourself, or you and your dog or whatever. I mean, yeah, it's really nice because when you want people around, they're around. And when you want to be alone, you'll be alone. And when you want to run into somebody at the store,
How do you do that when you want them around, they're around, and when you don't, they're not? Is it because you just go home?
It's just, you know, it's big enough, but not too big where I can.
I love it.
I might go grocery shopping and run into nobody, but I might run into somebody I know. So it's nice because you still get to have your privacy and not have everybody know your business, but at the same time you get to run into people you know and feel like you live in a nice, warm community.
That's nice. That's
really
nice.
And it's very, you know, you can believe what you want and you can dress how you want and you can do whatever work you want and nobody's here to judge you in Boulder.
That's nice.
You know, if you can afford the real estate, it's a great place to live. It's, you know, but it's pretty pricey. Not as pricey as other places like Hawaii maybe, but it's up there.
Everywhere.
I think it's like $425 a square foot, something like that now.
That's a lot.
It's pretty high.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's pretty high.
For a house. I think a little less for a condo. Yeah, it's pretty high.
Yeah, that is pretty high.
But
so,
quality of life.
Yeah,
you know?
And I'm glad the Colorado River does share. I know Vegas uses the water, the river, and California. And so, wow, that's neat. So we're going to have to go into that one day. I'll tell you, that's one thing I love with real estate. You can go all over the place, right? There's just so much, so much to do. So I right now, you know, I'm so thrilled that you're coming on now because it's the middle of December and we're 9 days away from Christmas. You know, people just finished Hanukkah, and there's so many different holidays right now. So I just want to say happy holidays to everybody because, you know, there's so many different ones too. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. So tell us, so many years and years of teaching people about relationships. Tell us how did you get into it in the first place? Because you've been doing it since with John Gray. John Gray asked you to come in and facilitate. How did this start?
You know, I always, how I describe it is it was God calling. And what I mean by that is Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus came out in 1993. And I was in 94, I called his office because I was facilitating A Course in Miracles group, which is a spiritual study book for those who don't know A Course in Miracles. And I was also a facilitator for Attitudinal Healing, which was something that Dr. Jerry Jampolsky, who wrote a very best-selling book for years and years called Love is Letting Go of Fear, which is based on the principles of A Course in Miracles. So I was an Attitudinal Healing facilitator, so I had a weekly group doing that as well. And then when I took A Course in Miracles back in 1990, didn't seem like that long ago back when I used to say that. It seems like forever ago. I was the person who wrote the meditation for my group every week for a year. And so when it was all over with, I decided I loved it so much, I started my own meditation group. And we met every week for 13 years. And so when Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus came out, I thought, I'll start a Mars-Venus support group. I'll add it to my little repertoire of support groups and it'd be great. The book was really popular. And for those that are too young to remember, that book, we haven't seen the likes of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus since it came out. So people that weren't around for that don't really have anything to relate it to, because it was so big. And he was, you know, on every show, and everybody was talking about it. And I remember at one point, the words Mars Venus, they did a study, had 97% recognition in the United
really?
States amongst men and women.
And,
yeah,
and nobody and no one was using the internet back then, so that says a lot.
Yeah, there was no internet, but I mean, you know, it's like Saturday Night Live. I mean, it was on there. I mean, it was such a common household phrase, Mars Venus, or men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and. And sometimes people get wrong, and women are from Mars, and men are from Venus, which always makes me laugh. But
it gives us a good reason, a good excuse to, like, you know.
Hey, you know,
it gives us a good excuse to blame each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But some couples, you know, the woman relates to being more like, the, you know, from Mars, and the guy relates to being more like, you know, from Venus. So, I called the number in the back of the book, and I said, hey, you know, my name's Janice Hoffman, and I'm doing these things, and I had an idea for a support group for Winter for Mars, Winter for Venus, using the book, and, you know, what do you think? Do you have any curriculum? Or, and they said, oh, you know, we don't have anything like that. We've never even thought of that. And I was like, well,
really?
You know, have a nice day. Thinking, yeah, and I actually don't even remember giving them my phone number, because there wasn't a reason to, but I did, apparently, and 2.5 years later, my phone rang. Because we didn't have the internet, that was when people called. And my phone rang, and it was somebody from his office saying, would you like to be trained as one of his first Mars-Venus facilitators to teach the 8-hour Mars-Venus workshop, which is what he was doing every Saturday in different cities all over the country. I mean, there weren't enough Saturdays in the year for him to
right.
be everywhere. He was so popular.
You need to train the trainer then, wow.
Yeah, and so I was like, you kept my number? I mean, 2.5 years. So that's why I would say it was God
Fantastic.
Calling, because I went out for a week-long training. I met John. I met his staff. And I, you know, was immersed in the material for a week. And I thought, you know, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. I knew that I had, like, found my calling, found my passion, and I knew what I wanted
yeah.
to do. And I worked really, really hard and ended up becoming the training director, which was so my cup of tea, because then I got to be the mama bear for all of Mars Venus facilitators and counselors out there. And like you said, you know, over time, we trained over 550 facilitators and counselors, and
wow.
it was the best job in the world, and I was, you know, happier than a clam, and I became a mini-me of John, really. You know, I wanted to just know everything he knew and figure out how he so eloquently and easily could get along with anybody, or, you know, somebody came up to him and they were upset about something, and or they were mad at him. You know, within minutes, they would be apologizing. I was like, how did he do that? You know, like,
really?
You know, or he'd have them calm down. Yeah, I was like, how did he do that? And, I mean, I studied John Gray from every angle that you can possibly study somebody. You know, how he resolved conflict, how he handled his staff, how he, you know, the writing style, I mean, speaking, everything. How he moved on the stage, how he used humor. I just, everything about him I studied. And as it turns out, I didn't need to know as much as I studied. But,
He was just so good with relationships. I'm not his background, I guess. I'm not sure about his background. I remember,
what women would say most commonly was, I felt like he followed me around my house and he knew me so well. He could, like, so, and for a lot of women, they never had words for their feelings until Men Are From Mars, Men Are From Venus came out. And they're like, that's how I feel. That's it. That's how I feel. And so
wow.
for the first time ever in history, really, women had a words to identify and be able to then verbalize to their partner how they felt and how they, you know, what they needed and what they wanted, and same with their partner. And so the men were pretty reluctant in the beginning, because they, you know, a lot of men, a lot of couples, men and couples, marriages have gone to marriage counselors, and
right.
for a lot of people, it's been an experience of whose side is the counselor or therapist going to take. And it's very difficult. I've done coaching. And when a couple comes in like that, it's very difficult to stay neutral and not take sides, because you agree with some of the things that she says and you agree with some of the things he says. And
right.
because you're not there to, like, take sides. You're there to, you know, make them feel better when they leave than when they got there in terms of their relationship.
Right.
So, and it's very difficult, because a lot of times people wait that long until it's, you know, pretty bad to seek somebody out. But a lot of people have a lot of resistance and fear about going to see or doing any kind of relationship workshop or therapy or coaching, because of usually past experiences or stories they've heard. And so
sure, exactly.
You know,
right.
You know, you got to, you know, it's like anything else. You got to look hard to find a good one. in any you know, career. But so I just knew what I wanted to do, and I came home and I worked really hard, and long story short, ended up coming out with my own book called Relationship Rules. And it very much embodied, that's the other thing I learned about the Mars Venus books, is it's really a philosophy. You know, it's when you live in a it's a philosophy that creates a win-win outcome. And so when always the goal is a win-win outcome, then there's certain skills and techniques, and it actually, you know, for me, it's become a philosophy and not just a catchphrase or a pop culture kind of way of being in relationships, or this works now but not later. You know, it really
does. I do it
in
real estate. Yeah, I do it in real estate all the time. It's got to be a win-win, and then at least somebody, because no one's going to get everything, but at least they feel validated, I think, when you get a win-win.
Exactly.
Right? Rather than feeling cheated or poor or whatever. So how do you, wow, that's really, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I mean, just the people listening. I mean, how many times have you felt invisible, or how often do you feel invisible? And I mean, we get up, we do everything we need to do in the morning to get out the door, whatever that entails. We have children. And then we go to work and we do our work, and you know, it's like, what are we doing all this for? You know, I mean, where's the payoff for all our hard work? And if we're not happy in our relationship and we're stressed out and we're not taking care of ourselves, I mean, how happy can we be, and how much can we be there for somebody else if we're really stressed out? And the holidays are perfect, as wonderful as they are, people are more stressed out during the holidays than any other time of the year.
It's proven that there's more pressure.
Well, you know, more people propose on Christmas Eve, but there's the media has done such a great job. You know, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
There's something about starting the new year, and there's something about proposing on Christmas Eve is very, very popular. You know, this is really popular, having sex for the first time on prom night. Not to the segue over there, but. We're going to talk about that
within a couple minutes. I want to get into that with what you do with teenagers too. But I never knew that people propose more. I would have thought it was Valentine's Day, but I never realized it was Christmas Eve. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the media has done a horrible job.
Maybe they're afraid
of,
it is.
Valentine's
Day
is just about flowers, candy, you know, and jewelry.
Maybe
that's all the Valentine's
maybe they,
is about now.
Well, maybe they figured the gifts didn't have to be as. Maybe the gifts didn't have to be as big, and they figure if they propose, it makes up for everything. Oh, I don't feel like going shopping, so I'm just going to propose. No, I'm only kidding.
It's just so much pressure. I mean, look at the Hallmark example that they portray in commercials. You know, that the family gets together and everybody's happy, and then all the people in the world who don't have that think that, you know, well, I'm the only one that doesn't have that, and then they feel back to invisible, and so. A lot of times people will do things, you know, like kids do things to get negative attention just because it's attention nonetheless. People will do the same thing just to feel visible in the world. You know, like, hey, I am here. I don't just get up, go to work, do all this stuff, come home just to put a roof over our heads, food on the table, and pay the bills. There's more to life than that. I'm not just a machine. Go ahead.
Well, do you think a lot of people dress depressed in the holidays? Would you say it's more people like living alone, more people that lost a loved one and they're grieving because of loved ones, or because
holidays are really hard if you're grieving over the loss of a loved one, because it brings up good memories, you know? And there's that. And then there's, if you're single, you know, the idea that, you know, everybody's together and everybody's happy and we're all singing Christmas carols around the Christmas tree or whatever their, you know, faith practices are. And, you know, it's just not true. I mean, it's, you know, there's, you know, for me, my kids are all grown. I'm an empty nester. Nobody told me what an empty nester's life was going to look like. Surprise! You know?
Wow.
I mean, there's a lot of things we're just not prepared and taught. You know, we don't have that, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. We don't have that community of, especially as women, of older women telling us what it's like to, you know, hit perimenopause or menopause or have your kids, you know, move out or become a grandmother or, you know, what if you never had children? And, you know, I have friends who are in their 50s and they never had kids. They're like, what's my purpose being on the planet? Because they're starting to feel invisible. You know, the older you get, the more you feel like, what's my contribution to the planet?
And, you know, it'd be nice, it'd be nice to think that when we're mid-age that we can start over almost and do another 40 or 50 years, right?
Oh, but, look at all the people who change careers at midlife crisis, you know, or you can call it a career change. Look at people change careers at 40, 50 years old. It happens a lot. You know, you just hit the top of what there is to learn maybe in your field, and you've had all these other interests that you wanted to pursue over the years, and you just do it because you can.
And it's okay. Right. You know, it's okay to do that. That's the big thing about, so tell us what about some of the tips or just some of the, you know, just some of the things that come up at Christmas holidays, the holidays in general, and some of the tips that you think are good for people to use. I know you're really big on different tips and using them for different situations.
You know, I'm really, I am. And, you know, I think the more information you can give people, the better choices they can make. You can only make, there's this great story in Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hamness's book, The Aladdin Factor. And the story is about this guy that goes into a bar and he'd stolen this jacket and he sold it for $100 and it had gold and silver buttons on it. And he was telling all his friends at the bar, hey, I stole this jacket and I got $100 for it. And one of the guys at the bar says to him, that's all? And he said, is there a number higher than 100? And you can only make choices around what you know. If you don't know, then you can't make it that choice. And so that's why I just have so much passion for my work. But around the holidays, one of the things I would really encourage people to do is, and people are already doing this, but put everything on your to-do list. First of all, make a to-do list.
Everything.
And by that I mean like eat breakfast, you know, go at 10 o'clock, go to bed or whatever your, you know, bedtime is. So you don't stay up late and then not sleep well maybe and then have to get up early and go to work and then, you know, can't function well because you didn't get what you needed.
Right.
So, you know, like eat dinner, you know, and eat it at you know, like before 7:30, like they recommend or, you know, drink water. I mean, make sure you get your water in every day. Just your blood alone needs water to recycle itself through your body. For no other reason, drink water. And you know, maybe you're meaning to call somebody. Put that on your to-do list. So it doesn't have to just be pick up the dry cleaning.
So what's the purpose? What's the purpose to make the to-do list and put everything on there? Tell us, first of all,
it gets that out of your head and on paper so that you can, and it sounds crazy, but it's really true, but it creates a space in your brain for you to have other thoughts. And when your to-do list is in your head, you can't think of other things because there's only so much space if you look at it, you know, in that context.
You know,
so when you put it on a piece of paper, it lives there. You can look at it anytime. You don't have to worry about did you remember or forget or whatever because it's on a list. You can add to it. And you can have that really great feeling of crossing things off. Yeah,
that's important.
Really wonderful, you know. Yeah, I mean, there's actually a hormonal shift that happens in your body when you're able to cross something off your to-do list.
So you don't
feel
invaluable. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, one of the things, especially if you're really stressed out, pick up a puppy, pick up or a dog, pet a dog, pick up a cat. You know, walk over to somebody who has a baby and say, oh, how old's your baby? All that stuff creates oxytocin, which is the feel-good hormone. And when you create oxytocin, that creates the chemical serotonin in your brain, which makes you able to be happier and let things go. And that's why men are always like, well, you know, why are you making such a big deal about this? And just let it go. And, you know, it's like you let things bother you too much. It's like, you know why they say that? Because they have more serotonin in their brain, and that allows them to be able to let things go. We use 80% more serotonin and 20% less. So we're just whipping through the serotonin, and they're not, and they produce more. And
so how do
they
can
say, just let it go, you know? Like, yeah,
of course.
As you do.
Well, they don't like to talk
as much
as we do either. So they kind of like go, what do you use to increase your serotonin rather than somebody taking any depressants or mind pills or whatever? How can you increase your serotonin?
Anything you can do to nurture your feminine side. So, you know, try a new recipe, paint your nails, you know, comb your hair or somebody else's hair. You know, one of the things people can do, and if they're highly sensitive people, HSPs, it's actually a diagnosis, is you can just, especially if you're really stressed out, you can just pet your hand. Like
Like
the,
literally
the
pet your hand.
Men
and,
can do
and,
this
and
too,
you're,
right?
Because, okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But you're
men need to get their feminine side too.
System? Oh
okay.
Yeah. And they should because well, I can talk about that in a minute. But your parasympathetic nervous system doesn't know it's not you petting yourself. It just
really?
Feels.
Oh, I've got to start doing that
yeah.
because I'm by myself. I
so
start
you
petting my head.
Stroke
okay.
your shoulder, or you could just stroke your cheeks,
oh,
and maybe say to yourself, you know, everything's going to be okay. Or you don't even have to say that, but you can just stroke your cheeks, maybe say something nice to yourself, and your nervous system doesn't know it's not you, and so it's still
that's amazing,
the
right?
Yeah,
like
it?
getting massages, the touch, the touch and
yeah.
the caring. So
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
for people listening, yeah. No, I mean, for people listening, because we have a lot of people, too, that listen from all different areas, and they like to download it, because it, they're convenient. So we get a lot of feedback. And so it's important for the men listening to know you should need to nurture your feminine side as well, right? Just not to think, I'm a man.
Absolutely.
I can't talk about that, right? And then women
absolutely.
On the – yeah, okay. Because women should realize it's okay for us to have some of the man traits too, but not, you know, because I think people start thinking, oh, no, women, or especially men, oh, I can't be feminine, I can't get my nails done, I can't, you know, go get a massage, I can't get a pedicure, and men can, and men should.
They're ripping the hair off their chest, you know, while they're saying that, but yeah. I mean, yeah, you know what's happened is men are, that's where the whole metrosexual thing has come into play,
uh-huh.
where men are taking on, you know, this whole equality thing, and I'm not saying it's good or bad, I'm just observation. Uh-huh. It is what it is, but because we have so much more equality, women are more like men and men are more like women. And the thing about men being more like women, shaving their chest or their arms or getting pedicures or massages or staying home with
mm-hmm.
the children, and not that there's anything wrong with any of this, it lowers their testosterone.
Does it really?
Yeah, and if you take a 40-year-old man today and a 40-year-old man from 2000 and a 40-year-old man from 1980, the 40-year-old in 1980 is going to have more testosterone than those other two men because the more men feminize or equalize themselves where we just become this flat human being and don't have a species of men and women, the more it impacts their testosterone. And then they end up taking things like Cialis and Viagra, which actually make your testicles atrophy over time, by the way.
Mm.
And you know, who wants to, I mean, I don't know. I don't have any experience
well,
with
that. Well, I didn't know that.
Boner doesn't sound fun to me.
Yeah, it doesn't, not at all. But the thing, you know, it's kind of like, but when you think about it, who would have ever thought back in caveman days and, you know, who would ever think that, you know, it's like, okay, the men
exactly.
go get the food, the women cook the food. And, you know, we've had our roles, gender roles for a long time, although I like to think that, you know, women still helped rule the world. We just were quiet about it, right? But the gender roles, I never realized that the hormones
yeah.
play a role with the gender, you know, that as far as, I never realized that, hey, if a man stays home and takes care of the children, which I think is wonderful, in the sense many, many roles are changing in the fact that, you know, the women may want to get out. It just depends on some people like to stay in, some people
oh,
like
yeah.
to go. And so,
yeah.
but I never thought that that would change the way you come across. And, wow. That's interesting.
Well, and then, you know, add to that, you have women who don't want their doors open and their chairs pulled out, and they've let certain men know over time. You know, men
which women, I disagree
that.
With that. I think they're making a big mistake, but that's just my personal opinion.
You know, I think
but,
it's a respect
okay.
issue. You know, it's wonderful as a woman to have a man, you know, treat me more special like that
mm-hmm.
in that way. But I open doors for men. I mean, I don't see it as a gender thing at all. So
oh.
you know, I think it's just nice to have, I mean, you know, it's nice in the context of a relationship. Like if I'm on a date, I would like to have my car door open for me. But if we're just running
right.
errands, that's not important. But if it's a special night, if it's date night, yeah, I want to feel special. That's the whole point.
Oh, okay.
Date night. So men, so what happens with the whole men, you know, it lowers the testosterone, but they're not spending time on their feminine side in terms of balancing their male and their female characteristics.
Oh.
And so it's
okay.
really important that men do things to nurture themselves as well, aside from the pedicures or the manicures or, you know, whatever, so that they don't spend too much time on their male side. And the reason I say that is because you want to have a balance. You don't want to be, you know, and I'm not talking about sexually at all. I'm just talking about there's
right.
certain characteristics that are male and there's certain characteristics that are female that we've identified. And so having the optimal way to be is in balance. You know, you've done some things that are male, you've done some things, characteristics that are female, and you feel very balanced. And a lot of women, especially with our, you know, equality, we're out in the workplace, that's very male, that's, you know, way on our male side when we're at work. And then we come home and, you know, we have things to do, like make sure the kids' homework's done and make sure they're taking their baths and get dinner ready and vacuum, whatever is done before the end of the day. And so we're way over on our male side all day long from the time we get up. And women who just, you know, they talk about it all the time. It's like, I just don't have time, you know, to paint my nails or try a recipe or, you know, fix my hair or anything. I mean,
you
a
know,
lot
whatever,
of just,
whatever is important, whatever is important to you, get done. You do get done. You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
Put it in. But I never looked at
it,
you know, raising my son.
It's so important that women spend time on their feminine side so they don't spend, because what happens if you have a man and a woman in a relationship and they're both working and they're both way over on their male side and they're not doing things to nurture the feminine side, you have two people out of balance. Two people out of balance are not going to get along very well. And so that's the motivation. It's not just for yourself, but it's for your relationship as well, to be able to get along and be able to be understanding and appreciative and be able to compromise or not have your way,
oh, gosh,
not get upset about it or not take things personally by being more in balance. And so it is important to know, you know, what are things that you can do to nurture your female side, because most of us are on our male side a lot, so that we can be
balanced.
Wow. We can't.
Well, it makes sense. It makes sense. I never thought about that, raising, you know, being out there on my own for so many years, raising my son on my own. I was divorced when he was six. And then running businesses, I never thought about that. Seems more manly, because I'm like, no. Well, I've always would rather sit in a whole board of men than just a lot of women, and nothing against women. It was just easier to deal with the men, you know, and bottom line, you know, and I've always felt comfortable that way. But I'm certainly very feminine and not a man, you know what I mean? So I never even looked at it. Like, with what you're saying makes sense, because I can see where other people would look at men and women when we're in one role more predominantly than the other, as that we're being more manly, more feminine. And it's kind of sad, because I think I just got, so I see what you're saying. You can kind of blend it and then still keep the feminine and the men and the masculine. And savor it. That's what I have a quick question, though, because I just want to get on when you were talking about the to-do list for people to use right now during the holidays, right? Is it
right?
And everything, like get up in the morning, go to lunch or take this or do whatever. And are you, because I've been writing to-do lists forever, because you have to when you're, you know, however you have to structure, but a lot of people don't write to-do lists. So if somebody's, say they're down during the holidays, are you saying that's even good for them to pull out their pen and paper and write the to-do list? Does it tells them, is it doing a few things? Is it giving them accountability so they know, hey, I got something done, when they're feeling down and you need to get your mind out of that funk? And is it also, like you said, opening their mind up to do something else? Just wanted to clarify that.
I think it's all those things. And you know, when I said, like, put, you know, like, have breakfast, put it on there if it's something that you would normally be prone to, you know, skip or avoid, or just, oh yeah, I forgot. You know, like, it's real easy for me to just put off dinner until it's really late. And so I might put on there, you know, eat dinner before 7:30 for me, because that's a thing for me. Or, you know, if somebody's really bad about not getting their 6 to 8 glasses of water in every day, then put it on your list so that it you can help support yourself. You know, the other thing you can do is, and I do this every year, is I make a list of what did I learn this year? You know, like what did I learn just this year?
Oh, good. And then your accomplishment.
You know, and yeah, because, you know, every year it's different. You know, I mean, what I learned this year isn't going to be the same as what I learned last year. And just, you know, and the other thing that people can do, that these are just little tiny things you can do that relieve stress in very little ways, actually, is you can when you go to the grocery store, we all have to go to the grocery store, we all have to eat, or if you go out to a restaurant, it's just looking at the menu or going up and down the aisles and saying, you know, what kind of cereal should I get, or, you know, should I get apples or oranges, or say to yourself, whatever your name is, you know, what does Natalie want? What kind of cereal would Natalie like to have this week? You know, what kind of fruit would Natalie like to eat this week? And it takes it, it actually moves it from one side of your brain to the other side of the brain, from the feeling to the, to the thinking, from the thinking to the feeling side of your brain. And it actually makes, I mean, if you do it, it just, you can kind of feel the shift inside yourself, like, yeah, you know, what what does Natalie want? You know, like, it's not just survival and putting food in a cart to take home in our body, you know.
We tend to forget about ourselves, and we just do, so that's...
Especially women,
well, in the
you know.
Holiday season, if people are isolating and they're depressed, you know, is it good to, you know, maybe they get invited to a party or they don't feel like going anywhere. What else could they do? Go to a movie or go get a book? Or what could they do to get themselves out of that funk?
You know, one of the things that I would highly encourage people to do is just call people you haven't talked to in a while, you know, and reconnect with people. It may, you get an invitation to a holiday party. It may just be that you reconnect. The other thing they can do is go on meetup.com and check out some holiday meetups.
Oh, that's a great
things
meetup.
That are going
.com.
On because, you know, it's so hard to, you know, there's a meetup group and it meets every month and you think, oh, you know, it's so easy to blow it off. They'll meet next month. I can go next month. But when it's a holiday party and, you know, it's there's more of a it's festive. There's a reason to get dressed up. There's more of an excuse to show up anonymously, but as an unknown, maybe you don't know anybody in the room. And it just feels more comfortable, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage them to do that because there's so many Christmas functions that go on. I mean, book clubs, any kind of club that meets, ski clubs, you know, hiking, whatever, it doesn't matter what kind of club it is, but they almost all of them have some sort of holiday party or a holiday get together. Every church has a holiday evening with singing and programs and that sort of thing. It's another way for them to feel included. But, you know, and journal, you know, what did I learn this year? And, you know, what do I want to do next year? And just in a very non-judgmental way on yourself, not like, wow, I sure didn't accomplish very much. Or I meant to get this and this done. I didn't get that done. But, like, what did you get done? I mean, just forget all that.
Have gratitude.
You know,
have gratitude.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we can make our to-dos that go on forever, and knowing that we're not going to finish them in that day, but we can still give ourselves the pat on the back. You know, I said to my daughter yesterday, guess what? I got this thing finished. And she goes, I'm so proud of you. And I said, could you please say that again? You know?
Wow, I love it.
I could hear it
again.
Yeah, John Gray's got this great story about when he proposed to his wife. And it was such a beautiful proposal that she said to him, would you mind saying that again? Because I really want to remember this moment.
That's wonderful.
And it was just such a great, you know, I mean, just things like that. I mean, that your listeners can use. Just something like that where somebody pays you a compliment. And you, can I just hear that again, please? That just felt so good. I mean, who's going to say it again? I mean,
you know,
we really need to
appreciate little things, the little things, because that's what makes up the big things.
So the little things. I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, if I could have a bumper sticker on my car, big, huge letters, it is the little things. You know, we're simple beings. We don't need a lot. We just need a little attaboy, did a good job, you look pretty today, you know. All the women out there that say they don't have time to nurture the feminine side, a little spritz of perfume will create oxytocin and serotonin. Because that little spritz of perfume you put on yourself will nurture your feminine side. It doesn't have to take
long. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I remember seeing I saw a marquee years ago. I think I was 12 years old, and we were going to, I think, Disneyland in Florida. I didn't get mixed up with Disneyland and Disney World. One's in Florida, one's in California. But we're in Florida. And on the marquee, I remember it said it takes 72 muscles to frown and only 14 to smile. I was like, wow, you know, that's like really, and it's kind of, you know, takes a lot, but to sometimes we have to force ourselves. If you smile and look up at the ceiling, it's hard to feel bad. And there's little tips like that, you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Just little
you
things.
Know the best way and the fastest way to get out of a bad mood is to compliment somebody else. And
really?
To be a stranger. You don't have to wait for I mean, the next stranger that walks up I really like your hair, or you have a pretty smile, or that's my favorite color. It doesn't have to be some ginormous compliment, just some little thing. And you may be the first person that's complimented them in days or weeks. I mean, who knows?
Yeah,
who knows? Maybe
it.
They, you know, I bought this top one time, and my daughter was like, you're going to wear that? And so I never wore it. And she looks like an old lady top. And then I wore it one day, and I got like 5 compliments. And I'm like, oh, maybe my daughter just didn't. You know, we let what one person says affect us in big ways, whether it's negative or positive.
Shouldn't.
So when you say something positive, I mean, you never know how really incredible that compliment might land. You know? I mean, you might be the thing that put a smile on the face for the whole day. You just don't know.
That, you
and it moves you out of you actually have to go from one side of your brain to the other side of the brain to pay somebody a compliment, and then you get the, you know, oxytocin and the serotonin, and you're, you know. If people would just take on the challenge and commit for 1 week to compliment anybody, just one compliment a day to somebody for 1 week and see how they feel at the end of the week, just challenge yourself to do that. And I guarantee you'll feel better.
I love it. I love it. You know, I was thinking people could go to holidays if they're alone. They could go to some of the soup kitchens and, you know, and help them. They can do that all year long.
Oh, yeah.
Holidays and donate and help and just talk to some people that are less fortunate than them. You know, or just help out. They could go get little gifts. You could go to Salvation Army and pick up a bunch of little gifts that would be like almost, you know, so cheap, right? If you didn't have a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And then take that to the shelters and take kids and things. But
you can just do it for an hour. It doesn't have to be the whole day or an afternoon. You can just go help for 1 hour and it'll make a difference, because you just don't know how much your presence can have an impact on someone else. I mean, I've heard many stories where people say that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that's one day at a time, just take care of this hour, this day, if somebody's super, super depressed. And it's interesting, once people know what's causing the depression, sometimes people think it's situational, and it is, but it could also be hormones, it could be chemical, it could be somebody maybe taking drugs, drinking too much alcohol, and then that's making them feel depressed because they don't realize, you know, it's just like what you just said, we learn something new every day, and when you're talking about the male side and the feminine side, and we both need to nurture it, it's like, I would have never thought just because you're out working and you're running the businesses and you're running this, that seems more masculine. It's like, wait a minute, that's not that. But I guess when it comes to these energies and these hormones, they are coming out that way. And I think, you know, knowledge is power. And what you're doing is so cool because you're helping couples and then teenagers as well, which we'll get into, to be able to step through this. So your book's called Relationship Rules. How does everybody get it?
Best way to get it is just to hop on Amazon, get the Kindle or the hard copy version. If they would like an autographed version, which I'm very happy to do, they can go to my website, which is janicehoffman.com, and they can click on the Relationship Rules link. And I think it probably takes them to Amazon, but if they want it, they can just contact me via my website and buy it through me, and I'll send them an autographed copy. Christmas is a great time to let your partner know that you really care about your relationship, not wait till anniversaries and Valentine's Day and birthdays, but let your partner know how much you appreciate them. We tend to think that we all value the same thing in life, you know, like if I give my partner something that I value, that he'll think it's just as wonderful. And one of the things I could get people to understand the most is we have different value systems. And when you realize you have a different value system, so if I gave you, you know, a tire
just laughing
gauge,
because it brought back memories.
A tire pressure gauge, you know, digital for Christmas. You'd be like, really? You want me to check my own air? My own tire? You know,
I got it. When I was married years ago, he gave me a sewing machine, and I'm like, oh my God, like, are you kidding? I'm not Susie Homemaker. I don't mean that in a bad way. I could sew, but I didn't want to, you know, I would want something more sentimental, but whatever. It was nice, you know, but I didn't think of it that way. And
we're
all that way.
Christmas is peace. Yeah,
give us sewing machines. No, I'm just kidding.
Nothing practical. Women know how to buy practical. We know how to buy sewing machines, vacuum cleaners.
Or buy that for another
paint.
Day, not on Christmas. Yeah, no.
Yeah, we know how to buy batteries. We know how to buy towels. We know how to do all that stuff. What makes us feel special is when you give us something that is anything but practical. And
that's a good point.
Whatever she wouldn't buy for herself that is not practical, you're pretty much your gold. So for the guys out there, And for the women, the opposite is true. They love practical things. So we go out and buy them things that we think would be, you know, awesome.
Aww.
And they're like, eh. So it's just the reverse. I always tell people, you know, whatever you think you should do, do the opposite, and you'll probably be fine.
Do you think men would get upset if you get – but would men get upset if you just gave them a gift certificate and let them go buy their own? You know, like that's kind
you
of
know,
insulting
men would
to a
be
woman.
Totally
but...
okay with you giving them nothing.
Oh, okay.
It would be really a wonderful what they would – just make their day and make their Christmas is if you appreciate what they do.
That's,
you know, thank you so much for getting the kids up so I could sleep in an extra half an hour before we open presents. Thank you so much for doing the dishes so we could, you know, go outside and make a snowman together as a family. You know, thank you so much for all that, you know, going to work every day and coming home and providing for the family and putting a roof over our head so he doesn't feel
that's
like a money machine. You know, thank him. If you appreciate his efforts, and even like, let's say you say, can you go, you know, shovel the snow, and all he does is sidewalk and the walkway to the house. He doesn't do the driveway. If you say, why don't you do the driveway? You just erased everything good.
Right.
You just erased everything good. It's like, appreciate what he does do, and you can ask for more. But if you say, how come you didn't do this? It just, you have no idea what a knife in the chest that is for a guy. It's like asking a woman, does this make me look fat? And he says, yes. It's the same thing. But because we have different value systems. And, you know, women, we take what you do, give, and say, we add it all up together, and at any given moment, that's how much you care about us. And we're always reevaluating.
And women don't forget. They don't forget.
Redirecting.
We don't forget.
We
don't forget. Do you remember when you just said that 6 years ago, and it was like December 2nd on 11 o'clock at night? No.
Yeah,
women can be really, yeah, that's true. Oh, boy.
So,
and then
you
men
know,
don't
the
like
women,
to hear us
like,
talk and
we
talk.
Want the little, yeah, women want the little things, you know, give her, you know, 12 days of Christmas. That's so, like, maybe designed for by women for men, because if you gave a woman a gift every day for 12 days, she's going to be so much over the moon than 12 days on 12 gifts on Christmas Day.
Like Hanukkah,
says,
huh? People do.
Well, kind of, because you had to put thought into it. You couldn't just go shopping all at once and, you know, each gift had to have thought. And it's all about, you know, men get a lot of points for going shopping, you know, looking at it, picking out the one, getting it wrapped, you know, the way they present it. Yeah, each one of those things is a point. And so if you have a dozen roses, you'll get maybe 2 or 3 points. But if you give one rose every day for 12 days, same number of roses, way more points.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so it's so the little things, especially for women. For men, if you just appreciate what he does and let him know, especially if you ask him for something and he does it. I mean, imagine if you ask one of your staff to do something and they do it, and then they're standing there going, can't you even say thank you? And you're like, oh, yeah, thanks. You know, they're not all motivated to go rush out and do that thing for you again, especially when they had to skip lunch. But if you say,
he
did such a great job, I'm so glad I hired you. They're going to walk out of there, you know, with their feet hardly touching the ground. Mm. And it's just one comment and delivered with sincerity that can make or break, you know, especially if it's an employee because, hey, they work for you. It's like sending your food back and yelling at the waiter and expecting them not to blow snot in your food. You know?
Oh, God, that sounds terrible.
do it.
but it is, oh, gosh, I know. We don't send our food back. I try not to ever do that.
It's all in how you ask. You could say, yeah, I'm sure that they didn't mean to make a mistake, and I'm probably way too picky, but, you know, would you mind? You know, people are more than happy. You know, I had a friend of mine, she's very green, you know, really into the air and everything. And when people leave their cars running, especially here in Colorado, because it's cold, you want your car to run warm up, it just really gets her upset. And she goes up to people and asks them to turn their engines off, and people get offended and yell at her. I said, well, maybe if you asked a little differently. He said, you know, I'm a crazy.
But you know, they have to freeze too. They may not want to be freezing on their way to work, so you know, it might not work too well either way.
Well, there's actually a law here: you can't leave your car running, or you can get ticketed because people just got out of control, and the air quality and all that kind of stuff. But you know, she said to somebody, "Hey, I'm a crazy environmentalist, or I'm an environmentalist," And, you know, I know this is probably none of my business, but it would really make me happy. Would you mind, you know, cutting your engine just to cut down on the carbon footprint? You know, and you don't have to say yes, but if you would, it would just really make my day. You know,
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe,
you know,
maybe.
It's
I don't know.
It
depends how cold they were. No, I know, I know, I agree. That's funny. But, you know, it is. It's coming from a good approach, yeah.
Yeah, when you take responsibility for, you know, even for single people, I mean, they always say to me, how do you tell somebody you don't want to go out with, or that you're going out with, you don't want to go out with them anymore? That it's not that you don't like them, you know that this isn't going to go anywhere, and you might as well let them know now.
Right.
And because what women will say especially when they're younger, they'll say, well, you said you loved me, you must be lying. You're a liar. You said you loved me, now you're saying you don't? Why did you say you love me? Liar, liar, liar. It's like, no. on Tuesday, when he said he loved you, he did love you. But now it's Saturday, and men live in this moment, and then they live in this moment, and then they live in this moment, and then they live in this. And so that's like a history for him. That isn't a lie. He really did
that
love
makes
you
sense.
when he said it. It's just that feelings change, and as women, we know that feelings can change minute to minute. And so it looks like he was a liar, but he really wasn't. And
he
so
really
when
wasn't.
You can say to somebody, to let somebody down easy so they don't think you're a total, you know, whatever, is you can just say, hey, if the tables were reversed and you didn't have feelings for me, that you would want to show me the respect and the kindness of letting me know as soon as possible and not lead me on and not waste my time. And I've really enjoyed our time together, but I don't want to waste your time because I don't really think this is going to go any further. And, you know, saying it has nothing to do with you, that's like in one ear, out the other. You know, we want reasons. So, you know, whenever you can take responsibility
and hopefully
for your feelings,
it's not right before Christmas.
You.
Hopefully it's not right before Christmas.
You know, I dated a guy who broke up with me on Christmas Eve when my kids were still
goodness.
At home. Yeah,
oh, that's
happy.
Terrible. That's
and,
not
yeah.
very nice. He could have waited till like New Year's, right? That's
yeah.
Gosh,
could have waited. This couldn't wait 24 hours. Seriously,
that's really wrong.
But,
I don't know, but you know, but then again, everybody's their own person, and I guess it's better to find out sooner than later. But gosh, we are already. Do you believe our whole hour is almost up? We've just flown by.
Oh my!
And I wanted to get into the teams about the team how you're teaching teams about relationships. I think we've got about 3.5 minutes left. I hate to do that at the end. But could you tell us briefly, like, what you're doing with teams about relationships?
Oh, yeah,
teaching
I would
them?
Love to.
Okay.
I have a teen dating program called Get Smart Dating, and it's a two-hour program, and it's all about what guys and girls are thinking and feeling and why they behave the way they do at 17, 18 years old, because it's one of the hardest ages to be. There's so many things going on in their life and in their bodies and their hormones, and they're almost legal. They don't even know what that means, except on a piece of paper, And so I created this program. Next year will be my 20th anniversary of presenting it in the high school and juvenile detention centers here in Colorado. Yeah, thank you. And it's just very interactive. You know, we play the dating game and all kinds of other things. And these kids, I can't tell you how hungry they are to know what, you know, how do you ask a girl out and why do girls go to the bathroom in groups and why don't guys call when they say they're going to? And it may not seem important to us as adults now, but in their world, this is like life or death stuff.
Right.
You know, and it saves girls from getting pregnant. It saves guys from paying child support because they have more information, like we were talking about earlier. You know, they know there's a number higher than 100 after this program. And my goal is to bring this program nationally to all teens, 17 and 18-year-olds, all across the country and train facilitators. And that's a big picture goal. But if they go to Get Smart Dating on my website, there's a couple. The TV show came out 2 different years, and there's video on there. The TV segments are on there, and they can see the program and process. And any support in any way that would look for this program, emotional, financial, whatever, would greatly appreciate it because these kids, believe me, they so want and need to know this. They're being taught about STDs and teen violence and abstinence, and they don't even know what it means because they haven't had a date yet.
And
this
is on JaniceHoffman.com, right? JaniceHoffman.com?
Yep, on the Get Smart Dating tab.
Get Smart Dating tab. You could do a series on that and train the trainer, like you said, with the facilitators.
I would love it. And what I, you know, and then what my big goal with doing this is, you know, have the parents in one room and have a program for them on how to let your kids go, graduate from high school and move out and have that
That's
be
hard.
You know, copacetic environment instead of a power struggle, which it likely will turn into if you're holding on like I did. And, you know, it's just going away forever, and you're holding on. You want, and they're like, get away. So, you know, I would love to have a program for parents on how to let their kids grow up gently and respectfully on both sides and have these kids be learning about, you know, what the world is really out there. And what girls and guys are really thinking and feeling, and why they behave the way they do, because they so want to know. We have so much fun. You'll see in the videos; they're either laughing or.
I love it. I'm going to look at knowledge is power. This is Janice Hoffman, and you can go to JaniceHoffman.com. This is Really Universal Radio. Janice, we have to get you back. Will you come back? Because
I'd love to.
We touched on a few. Oh my gosh, we have so much more to even talk about. You're so interesting, and it's just so. So helpful. So it's JaniceHoffman.com, and we are going to last comment to our listeners, because then we're going to call it a day and wish everybody happy holidays. And
You know, I just encourage everybody to really be good to yourself. And, you know, when you're good to yourself, you'll be good to others, and others will be good to you. And just one of the things that I said to my kids when they would go to bed at night, I would just say it over and over till they fell asleep, you know, rubbing their back, is life is good. All is well. Life is good. God loves me. And I just repeated it over and over because there was a roof over my head. I had food in the refrigerator. My bills were paid for that month. My children were healthy and safe. We were all together. And you know what? That's all that really matters. And God loves
That's
me.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. That is perfect. We'll have, definitely have a wonderful holiday and Happy New Year. And to everybody out there, thank you for being on. You were awesome. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.